Welcome back inside the lab, everybody. That is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. It's another large, jam-packed episode. Even though there's no NHL hockey, we have a very big-time special guest, returning guest, Josh Wegman of The Score. We're going to pick his brain on all the fantasy implications that you want to know. No big-time bets, but we're going to break down a lot of fantasy news today on Friday's episode that you're going to want to hear. Let's get right to it. Thanks for joining us.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Happy Friday and welcome back to your source for fantasy hockey news, the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I am always privileged and fired up to be joined by my esteemed co-host, Mr. Steel Roden. It's your boy, Big Flip Livingstone. You can find us Monday through Friday across every single platform you find your favorite and hottest content. We are for free and available for all of y'all fantasy fanatics out there. Thank you for making us your first listen every single day. And today's episode, my friends, is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. You can visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Steele, you know I love that it goes from the ad read to get started into let's get started. That's a little bit easy for me. Today we have one of our show friends of the show, Josh Wegman of The Score. This is the OG of the fantasy gurus in the world of the NHL in Canada. Josh Wegman is the guy we want to talk to right now. He's going to come on the show in a second or two. I know you have a bunch of questions for him. Mark Stone, we're going to ask him about. We're going to ask him about big-time disappointments, some trades. I know you want to break down this Timo Meier information with Josh. I'm hyped up for this episode, Steele, and I know you are too.
Yeah, obviously with the big trade that already happened with the Vancouver Canucks and New York Islanders, we're all in the trade deadline atmosphere right now. We got a month to go till the deadline at March 3rd or March 4th, I believe. Mm. Big names are still out there. Timo Meier, Jakob Chychrun, Erik Karlsson potentially. Mm. I don't know if that actually happens, but nonetheless, a bunch of big names that you and I are going to talk about on today's episode and how it affects their fantasy value moving forward. Because again, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. The last couple of weeks, five, six, 7 weeks left before it becomes fantasy playoff time. Mm-hmm. You need to know where your team is at, especially for the rest of the season.
That's why we're going to have Josh on. Let's bring him on now.
We are here with a fan favorite, Josh Wegman from The Score. Josh, thank you so much for joining us for today. Catching us at a little bit of a good time right now, a little bit of a break, NHL All-Star competition. So again, you know, obviously with the trade deadline looming, the big Horvat trade already happening, we got to get some insight from you on what's going on potentially for fantasy value, players maybe on the move. And I think we should start off with, we're going to get down to a lot of questions. I know Flip has. I want to talk about Timo Meier, but maybe we should start off with the big news today. Mark Stone out indefinitely, or at least for the remainder of the regular season after back surgery on last Wednesday. And this is the second time that he's had back surgery in less than a year as well. Not the same one that he had the first time around, but still, to have two back surgeries in less than a year is not a good sign. Obviously not a good sign for any fantasy owners that have Mark Stone, but how do you think this affects the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward, as well as maybe guys like Chandler Stephenson and Jack Eichel's fantasy value now that he's without Mark Stone?
Well, just first off, like you said, anytime a player's had two back surgeries in less than 8 months, I mean, you never want to speculate on the nature of an injury, but something like that could potentially be career threatening. So obviously we're just wishing Stone a speedy recovery, but from a fantasy perspective, I mean, he was really the heart and soul of that team, and specifically that top line with Jack Eichel and Chandler Stephenson, like you mentioned. So I'd say their value is trending downward definitely for the rest of the season, unless Vegas can maybe pull a rabbit out of their hat and pull up a trade at the deadline with Stone's big cap hit on LTIR now. Maybe they can make something happen. I know their draft pick cupboard and their prospect pipeline isn't very deep, but you never know what George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon can make happen. So maybe they'll be busy at the deadline, but it could just be a bit of a wash of a season. But yeah, definitely Eichel and Stevenson, their value is trending downward. So if you can move them, worth a shot, but obviously don't sell them for pennies on the dollar.
Chandler Stevenson was actually one of the sell high candidates that I had coming into last week, given that he has been so useful and so effective over the last even, you know, season and a half. And I'm with you here, Josh. I don't see it for the Golden Knights overall as well. Even just looking at the shakeup of this, of the standings in the Western Conference, Edmonton, to me, is going to take that third spot. They're only 2 points back now. Calgary's lurking in the wings. That means they're going to be fighting it out with the likes of Nashville, the Avalanche, and the Flames for that wild card spot. I don't see it for the Vegas Golden Knights. And this is just a huge blow to their season right now and to the fantasy value. But thank you for bringing up those points. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of what I wanted to talk to you about today, Josh. And you know, there is a lot going on in the NHL right now. That's clear. But realistically, we want to know about what's going on the fantasy side of things. That's why we bring you in. You've been doing fantasy with a close lens for a long time, and I know it's near and dear to your heart. So this season so far, hit me with your biggest disappointment. And you know, in the same breath, I need to know, who is your biggest surprise? Who have you been looking at, though, who's really let you down, and who has been a positive in your eyes so far?
My biggest disappointment has definitely been Victor Hedman. Personally, I had him ranked 9 on my ranking. So that's a definite first round pick. My rankings also include hits and blocks, and I tend to value elite defensemen like him a little higher, but yeah, 33 points in 45 games. He's on pace for his worst offensive season since 2015-16.
Right.
Jonathan Huberdeau was a close second. Not that high on him myself, though, so that's why I didn't have him. Okay. And Moritz Seider, too, also been very disappointing. He still racks up the hits and blocks, but the points haven't quite been there, and his shots per game is down from 2.28 last year to 1.65 this year. So that's a pretty steep decline in offensive jump. Might just be a sophomore slump, though. I'm not worried about him if you're in a dynasty or keeper league with him. But biggest surprise, I'm going to go with Travis Konecny. I feel like this is a guy who went undrafted in a lot of leagues, and he's just been fantastic this year. He's well over a point a game. He should have been Philadelphia's all-star representative.
Yes.
He's always a player I've kind of liked. He plays with, you know, a bit of an edge, but he's really talented and skilled. Seems to be a guy that's really fit in well under Torts.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because you and I have spent too many nights in the war room at the Score, Josh. But Travis Konecny would have been right there on my list as well. Steele, I don't know what you think about these takes. Do you think maybe you got any disagreements here?
Because my initial thought for the most disappointed was Jonathan Huberdeau. But right when he said Victor Hedman, I was like, you know what? That makes a ton of sense. As well at the same time. It's just a good look at taking a look at Mikhail Sergachev as well, and the stepping stone that he, in the season he's had, kind of really taking over a little bit of the first power play time and jumping in offensively, that big year he had last year in the postseason for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So him, Travis Konecny, like you said, can't go wrong with him. You know, I've been on a little bit of a rant over the Philadelphia Flyers the last 2 weeks.
Tortorella gets you under the skin, right?
John Tortorella just irritates me, but, you know, I think he irritates a lot of players out there in the NHL right now. But, no, some good points from Josh. I like both of those.
Let me steer us away from the John Tortorella hate train. And this is going to lead nicely into, I think, some of the questions that Steele has for you, Josh. And, again, make sure you're checking out Josh on the Score platform. This man is bringing the proper hockey and fantasy content that you need to hear, and check him out on Twitter as well. A solid follow with all the hockey analysis that you want to hear. But we got to talk about the trade deadline, Josh, and there is a lot of things going on. And now that Bo Horvat has moved, I think we're going to start to see a lot more chips start to fall. And I think one of those chips Steele is going to ask about in Timo Meier in a second. But who do you expect to be the most active team at the deadline? And I don't even necessarily mean big-time moves. I see a lot of teams here trying to really bolster their roster, and it might be in peripheral piece moves, but there are so many juicy rumors out there. What team or teams do you see being the most active over the next couple of weeks in the approach to the deadline?
I've really got my eye on the LA Kings. I think when you think back to when Rob Blake took over for Dean Lombardi as GM, and he was inheriting a bit of a mess of a roster, you know, they're really over the hill, but his goal was get all these young players, get all these draft picks and build them up and have them all come up together and have them be effective before Doughty and Kopitar start sliding down the back nine of their careers. And Doughty and Kopitar, to me, are still playing at a really high level. So I think now for them is the time to strike and make a big move while Doughty and Kopitar are still really good. And they have that great foundation of young players in place. Yes. They have a lot of – they have all their draft picks. They have a lot of prospects to deal from. I think they could really use a left-handed defenseman to play in that top four. Maybe someone like Jacob Chychrun fits the bill.
They
could also use a goalie. That's been their really only issue this year. Quick struggled. Obviously, Cal Peterson struggled as well and got sent down. And Phoenix Copley gave them a good little run there. But this is a guy who's just been a journeyman his whole career. So
yes.
Goalies are never easy to come by at the trade deadline, but if they could get one, that could be huge for them. Especially, to me, the West is just so wide open. So this would be the year, if I were LA, to really go all in.
And I think Rob Blake is that aggressive GM who really is right there. He's got all the pieces, too. So why not get in the mix? And I think a guy like Thatcher Demko, I keep hearing some Thatcher Demko to LA connections. Yeah. And it's not just me. Like, I think these are coming from Pagnotta, Friedman, and some of the big names out there in the NHL news realm.
Demko is from San Diego, too. So that would be really cool for him to end up in California.
I am so on point with you, Josh. I think the LA Kings have all the pieces and all the reason, mostly, to make a move and really augment this roster already loaded with talent. Steele, where's your next question for Josh?
Well, I want to to what Josh just said, I think that makes a ton of sense as well, because you and I just talked a lot to the Locked On Sens boys as well, and they were saying Pierre Dorion was, you know, scouting a couple of those LA King games.
Yes.
The Senators are looking for a right shot defenseman, so maybe Sean Walker or Matt Roy is a potential deal to alleviate some cap space to go out and get a left shot defenseman. Maybe go out and get Thatcher Demko because he doesn't want to be a part of the Vancouver Canucks organization anymore.
Who does?
It's atrocious right now over there.
Other than Andre Kuzmenko, who does?
Yeah, apparently so. And Elias Pettersson, if that happens to stay as well. But I want to talk about another California.
Just to jump in there, potentially, if LA and Ottawa, if something is brewing there, Cam Talbot to LA would also make sense. He's a pending UFA this year. He's been pretty solid, good veteran goalie. So that would be a big upgrade for the Kings between the pipes. But sorry, go ahead.
No, please. Ben, that's why we have you on. You want to interject with us? Our listeners are used to us blabbing off all the time. That's why we have you on, my man. Go ahead, Steele.
Yeah, another team definitely, you know, in the California area, San Jose Sharks, obviously going to be big sellers at the trade deadline. A couple of big names out there. A lot of guys that could be on the move, like James Reimer, one of those other veteran goaltenders that could be a backup for option for a Stanley Cup contending team. Erik Karlsson, I don't think he gets moved because of the contract, obviously. Kevin LeBanc has been a name tossed around where he can be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Two names that really stick out to me, and I definitely want your opinion on both these guys. Logan Couture being one of them. Flip knows this. I love Logan Couture in fantasy leagues. He is an absolute sleeper, under 50% rostered. Solid production all around, even with the peripheral stats. But obviously the big name being Timo Meier, and 26 years old, $6 million cap right now on his last year. The rumors between Timo Meier and the teams that are like after him the most right now, one being the New Jersey Devils and another being the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you think if Timo Meier were to be dealt to either the Devils or Leafs, they become legitimate Stanley Cup threats right away? Like, we know the Devils will be in the playoffs, no question, but I don't think they're going to get far. But if they are able to land Timo Meier, do you think they're able to make a little bit of a deeper run or potentially even get to the Stanley Cup finals?
Or do you already think they're built for a cup run? I'm talking about the Leafs in general.
So for the Devils, first off, I really like the way they're built, and I really am high on their long-term outlook. I don't necessarily think this is the year for them. I just think this is going to be the first time this group is going to the playoffs together. Yeah. And how often have you seen a really talented young team? They kind of have to lose at least once in the playoffs before they can take that next step. Yes. So, but with that being said, I still think a Timo Meier move would make sense for the Devils because you can re-sign him and they have the long-term cap space to make that happen. So I think a move for Timo Meier would really make sense for them, but it would have to come with an extension at some point. Obviously, he's a pending RFA, but that qualifying offer is going to be $10 million. So that would be a hefty cap hit on a one-year deal. So an extension would have to be in place. But for the Leafs, again, Meier would probably be my number one trade target if I'm Kyle Dubas.
Nice.
Man, if you could just add him to that top six forward group, that would make them so dynamic, right? And he's too, like, he's a scoring chance generating machine, but he's also plays with a bit of bite. Like, he's pretty physical. Yeah. He's really hard on the puck. He's not like the tallest guy. I think he's only 6 feet or 6'1", but he's pretty like sturdy. So I think that would be a great move for Toronto. And obviously San Jose would probably be willing to retain half of his $6 million cap hit for this year.
I think so.
And then, so you can fit that in pretty easily if you're Toronto, and then re-signing him may not be easy or might be impossible unless you want to move out another big salary. But the thing is, you could always trade his rights before the qualifying offer deadline in the offseason and recoup some of the picks that you gave up to get him in the first place. So, you know, say you give up a first, a prospect, a third, another prospect or whatever, you could probably get like a second back maybe, or a third, or any mid-round pick. So I think that would be a great move for the Leafs. I'm more team forward than team defenseman if you can only add one.
How many years do the Leafs have to do that though? They gotta have that blue line.
Hey, and the thing about what you're saying, Josh, is I think that what really might be the takeaway here is if you add Timo Meier into the mix in Toronto, and not to get too Toronto focused right now, and they actually go on a nice little playoff run, then some of the value of those peripheral pieces, if they do play well, are also up there. You have options, in my opinion, if you bring in Meier and they actually produce. Because not only will Meier have been now, you know, obviously say what you will about his postseason game, his regular season game has been on point. There's some options for the Toronto Maple Leafs if that comes to fruition. I just think they need to get a little bit creative, like you mentioned, with the salary cap, but it could be there. We're going to talk to Josh about a lot more postseason and trade deadline fantasy implications. But today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America. It's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make sports betting fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet on the Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't bang. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spreads to who will score a touchdown first. I don't know about you, Steelin' Josh. I'm going to ask Josh about his bets after, but Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, I'm looking at it. The FanDuel Sportsbook is safe, and the app is secure and easy to use. Best of all, you get paid with your winnings instantly. That's what I love about FanDuel. You get your money right away when you win it. Join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
And thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Don't forget, we are free and available on your favorite podcast platform, including YouTube. So make sure you hit the subscribe, hit the follow button. And thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with special guest Josh Wegman from The Score. Again, thank you so much for joining us. And before we move on to some more questions, just to both of what you guys said about potentially acquiring Timo Meier and then flipping him again, that's exactly what I saw as well for the Bo Horvat trade, that come the trade deadline time, March 2nd, March 3rd, whenever it is, that the New York Islanders could potentially flip Bo Horvat to recuperate the picks and prospects they kind of dealt as well if they're out of a playoff spot. So those are some amazing caveats to think about for both, you know, Timo Meier and Bo Horvat potentially come beginning of March 3rd.
I personally see the deal getting done in New York. I really do think they're going to throw even more money at Bo Horvat than he's asking. And what I saw today was he's expecting $8 million a year. This just seems like the prototypical Lou Lamoriello player. Josh, what do you think about that very quickly before I move on to some more fantasy-focused questions?
Yeah, that was that trade kind of came out of left field, didn't it?
It did.
I don't know if I didn't think the Islanders would be making a home run swing like that, but I mean, knowing Lou Lamoriello, he probably has Horvat agreed to like an 8-year extension.
Yes.
That like won't get announced until the end of the offseason.
Hey, he moves in silence, man. He's like this old school ninja who has no hair.
Literally.
So.
But I mean, from a fantasy perspective, I'm not huge on Horvat ending up with the Isles. If you're a Horvat owner, I think you're hoping he gets moved again, but
I hear you, man. Hey, this is just one of those things that I think on ice, translation to winning for the Islanders, I like what this does for their team, but it just puts a guy who is already under a lot of pressure in Vancouver to carry the load, again on a team that's, in my opinion, less offensively gifted. But does that mean the success won't come? Does that mean he won't have chemistry there? We're going to find out. We're also going to find out about the rest of the questions that Steele and I have for Josh. Look, you've been grinding in the fantasy realms. You're working at the score. You've been putting out the fantasy content for the masses for the last number of years, Josh. So I have to ask you about, you know, we're mentioning the trade deadline. Is there a player who you think might get moved at the deadline where a shift to a new team, a shift to a new scenery really brings some fantasy value to them? You know, we've talked about Chychrun, we've talked about Horvat, we've talked about some pieces. Is there a player out there who you think is going to get moved, who you really like the opportunity on a new team for their fantasy value to go up? I know that's a bit of an intriguing question, but to me, as a fantasy guy, that's where I'm trying to target, because that's where you can really make some advantageous moves.
To me, Patrick Kane is that guy. I know. I know there's been some like rumors out there. Oh, maybe Kane and Taze don't want to get traded, but like I don't buy that at
they're
all.
Out of there.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. And I think once Kane gets dealt, you know, obviously it will be to a good team. It's going to be he's going to be surrounded by better line mates than he currently is in Chicago. Yeah. That's a full-on guarantee. In Chicago, he's the only guy you really have to focus on. And if he's playing, say, on more of a sheltered, offensively minded second line, I could see him absolutely going off. I refuse to believe he's done. He has a career worst 6% shooting percentage this year. So there's some poor luck he's having.
He's playing with what, Andreas Athanasiou? Like, let's get real.
I really think, say he goes, I don't know, Rangers or Leafs.
That's exactly.
Or
I'm hoping for that.
Kings, anywhere.
If he goes to the Leafs, I'm getting a jersey in every colorway just because that it's 88 he rocks, right? What number is he rocking?
88. So I don't know what would happen if he went to Toronto, because Willie wears 88, right?
Gosh, I got to get that 88 on the back. That would be huge. But actually, I totally agree with you, my friend. Yeah. That would be absolutely huge.
So, I think wherever he goes, he's just going to – it's just because Chicago has been so bad the last few years. So he's just become so accustomed to losing those last few seasons. When he finally gets on a good team that has championship aspirations, I think he'll get that spark again, and he'll just really go off.
I love the fact that you say that, because I traded for Patrick Kane in my keeper league a few months back. I believe I sent Roman Josi and a 6th-round pick for Patrick Kane and a 2nd-round pick, hoping that he gets traded at the deadline to the New York Rangers. So I'm crossing my fingers right now that that happens. One of the players that I think about that could really use, his value could skyrocket as well, potentially. Flip and I have talked about this a few times. Brock Besser maybe going back home to Minnesota. I know that from what I've seen, that teams, in order to, you know, want Brock Besser, that they will want the Vancouver Canucks to retain a little bit of his salary to make it a little bit more enticing for them. But I think Brock Besser would be one of those players as well to do a little bit better with a fresh start on a new club.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he needs a change of scenery, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Vancouver has just been such a dumpster fire the last couple of years now.
Yeah.
For him to get out of there, I think it would just really boost his confidence and just give him a clean slate. One other player too, who I think fits the mold. He's more of a deeper league target, but he's hurt right now, but
love those
Sean Monahan. He was having a decent little season in Montreal before he got hurt. And I know there's been some rumors tying him to Colorado.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine he ends up in Colorado, because Colorado doesn't have their first round pick this year, I don't think. So they're probably not going to go like all in at the deadline like they maybe did last year, you know, with Manson and I forget who else they got. But if they can go out and just they really didn't replace Kadri as their second line center.
No.
So I think if Monahan could be a cheaper target, you know, he might be just like a second or third in a prospect. I really don't think it would be that pricey. So
if Monahan
could end up there, Avalanche get healthy, you know, maybe because the Avs like to split up McKinnon and Rantanen sometimes. So maybe Monahan's on a line with Rantanen and Lekkonen, something like that. I don't know. I could see him getting really hot down the stretch if he went there. It's obviously a lot would have to go right, but that's one guy I would definitely keep on my watch list.
I expect the Colorado Avalanche, you know, whatever the cap situation restricts is one thing, but given how close, in my opinion, they still are to being a legitimate cup threat, I expect them to be active at the deadline because now they're starting to get healthy. Gorgiev, in my opinion, this year has been good enough. You know, if they had Kemper in there last year, I know Kemper had a good season. Francouz was awesome in relief. In my opinion, the Avalanche aren't getting nearly enough respect. And I think some people are forgetting about this is the reigning Stanley Cup champion. So I think they might be in the mix for a number of moves. My last question for you, Josh, before we let you go, again, thank you so much for joining us today. And make sure you check out Josh at the Score app and on Twitter for Josh Wegman. Look, there's just, you know, I got to ask you about any of these young players that you see going on in the fantasy realm, Josh. That's where we, as fantasy guys, try and get a leg up on the competition or, you know, you at least tell your buddies, oh, I read this blog or I know this guy. Are there any young players, prospects, guys who are just starting in the league or someone who you expect, it might be this season at the end when they get the run out when their team's out, maybe at the start of next season? I need to know young fantasy talents that you think aren't getting love that you see making an impact maybe this season, maybe next season. Who are you looking at?
All right. I've got two guys for you.
Let's go.
One, you know, a lot would have to happen for him
to
get a shot basically, but Jesper Wallstedt, the Minnesota Wild goalie prospect. He's been really hot in the AHL lately. His save percentage is up to .912. And when he was picked in the first round a couple of years ago, the whole report on him was like he's as close to NHL ready as a goalie prospect has been in a while. Like he's just really refined. He's not as raw. But I know Fleury and Gustafson have both been pretty solid this year. So one of them would have to get hurt for him to make an impact this year.
I don't think Fleury's going to be there for too long, Josh. Yeah, so I'm here for this.
Like Fleury has another year on his contract, so I would assume he plays that out. But hey, maybe they get to the offseason, he changes his mind and retires. Then they're probably maybe bringing in like a cheaper veteran, but otherwise, they might
hurt again. And Wallstedt gets a run.
Exactly. So, Wallstedt, in like I'd say at least a year or two, if you can play the waiting game, he could be that guy in Minnesota. And they always play really good team defense, it's always been a really goalie friendly environment. So,
definitely,
he's a guy I'm stashing in my NA spot. And
love that.
My keeper leagues for sure.
Who else you got? You said you had two.
I have another one for you.
And honestly, I love that first pick. And this is a good keeper dynasty angle, people here. This is why I'm not joking when I say I bring Josh Wegman on here. This man has his eye on all formats. Make sure you check him out on Twitter. Who else you got, Josh, to wrap this up? And we're going to have you back on again soon because I'm even benefiting from your analysis right now and I'm making hella notes.
So the other guy I have, you know, he's – depending on where you are in the continent, he's getting some hype. But Matthew Knies.
Whoa, down the wire here.
Just because. Yes. So I'm very confident that he's going to sign his ELC with the Leafs once his college season at Minnesota ends. And if they don't add a Timo Meier or Patrick Kane type of winger, say they add a defenseman and a center maybe instead, which I can really see him getting a shot in that top six on the left wing. To me, his game is just really pro ready. He's 6'3". He'll probably get some, like, I don't know if you can track hits in college hockey, but he seems like a guy who throws his weight around a lot. His short area game is so good. Like, he'll be really good in the cycle. I think he could just really adapt well to playing in the NHL. I know it's a long shot, but, and again, if he doesn't this year, like, say he plays more of like a fourth line role when he, if he joins the Leafs this year, I think next year there's going to be a top six spot there for the taking for him. The only problem with him is, I don't know about other formats, but in Yahoo, like, he's not in the system yet because he hasn't signed a contract yet,
This is extra deep.
So once he signs that contract, though, Yahoo will probably make him in their database immediately. So as soon as he signs, I'm going to be, like, refreshing Yahoo constantly until he's
4 o'clock
traded.
In the morning, swiping, refreshing.
Literally.
Yeah, not until... sleeping after you covered a night full of NHL action. That's how committed you are.
Yeah, again, other formats might be different. He might be already in the database, and you may already be able to add him. But I know in Yahoo, you can't just yet. So, yeah, he's a guy I'm really keeping an eye on. As soon as he signs that ELC, I'm going to be trying to add him.
Hey, my man, this is the deep analysis that I'm here for, Steele. I have nothing else left for Josh now. You got something less for my man?
No, I am happy as can be right now. He's talking about my two favorite teams, Minnesota Wild, Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm ecstatic right now. Josh, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys out there for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Don't forget, we are free and available Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time. Once again, thank you so much for joining us, Josh. Tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I and the special Josh Wegman. Have a great day. Good luck with all your bets out there, if you're placing any bets. And we shall see you back here again on Monday.
Peace.